Evening, everyone. Trust you've all had a glorious Christmas. We were blessed this morning with God's word and reminded that the King of Kings has come. And tonight we want to continue looking at the Lord Jesus, and we're going to pick the story up from Luke chapter 2, and I want to read from verses 21 down to 40. Entitled in the NIV, is called Jesus Presented in the Temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and a devout person. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also the prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord and returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May the Lord bless that word to our hearts tonight as we remind ourselves of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. This evening, as we think about Christmas, there are so many different thoughts that go through our minds. As far as the world is concerned, it is a time of holidays and presents, time of having a good time eating Christmas pudding. But for the Christian, celebrating Christmas has nothing to do with these things, nothing to do with Santa Claus or reindeers. However, the most important thing is that we are reminded of the fact that the Messiah, the Son of God, has come into this world. God took on human flesh, so that he could come and live amongst us, so that he could become our sin bearer and our Savior. Anyone who would repent of their sins and put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus and believe in him, the Word of God teaches us that they would be forgiven and would be granted eternal life. And this is what we celebrate here tonight. Now, the passage that we're looking at this evening is the story of these two people who looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were looking for that great day when he would save his people from their sins. But before we look at their story, let's come for a moment and just pray and ask the Lord to be with us and to help us again tonight to be able to get a glimpse once again of this great and awesome God that we serve. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you tonight that we can come into your presence, and Lord, that you came down to earth from heaven to come and dwell amongst us. You understand us, and at the same time, you were God. You were both divine and human. Will you help us this evening, Lord, to understand this amazing truth and to understand the amazing event that changed the world forever? And so we come and we pray in humility tonight, asking, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and open our hearts and open our minds to be able to understand these amazing things. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight we look at the blessing of the promised Messiah when God sent his long-promised son to come into this world. He raised up these two people, Anna and Simeon, to pray. In Psalm 24 and verse 14, it says, God's secret is with them that fear God. In verse 25, we read there just a few moments ago, now there was this man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and a devout man, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in this child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law that the law required. And a bit further down in verse 36, we read of this prophetess Anna, the daughter of Pheniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple. But look at this, she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And so isn't it amazing how that God has his people even in the very worst of times? Both of these folk shone as people of faith and hope in those dark days. The godlessness and the unbelief of those times had not drowned their faith and their fervor for the Lord. Although what Simeon and Anna saw happening in God's house and in the world around them never grieved them, it grieved them greatly, but they gave themselves to the ministry that no eye could see. They prayed and they hoped and they longed for a better day. And so they called upon the Lord time without number. Simeon's hope was not in vain, because we read there in verse 25, we are told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for God to intervene in the affairs of Israel. He believed God's promises of a coming Savior, the coming Messiah. We don't know how long he waited, but it certainly must have been for many, many years. We see this record in the Bible of his faithful, persistent expectation. And now to help him in verse 26, we see that God sent the Holy Spirit to reveal to him that he was not going to die before he had seen the Lord Christ. We are not told how this was revealed to him. Perhaps it was a heavenly messenger, but we are told that he was not unfaithful to this heavenly vision, but he was strong in faith. He trusted in God. The secret was his hidden source of strength and assurance. With his very eyes, he was going to be able to see the Messiah, the Savior that God had promised the world. And so there is no true prayer until we get to see the vision that God has for our lives, what he wants to do with us in this world. Our faith must be constantly fed and fueled by the promises of God's word. If we have no expectation of seeing God's goodness at work in our lives, we would certainly just sink down into despair and despondency. We know that Anna was a widow, having lost her husband only after 7 years of marriage. And the wonderful thing is this, that even in her loss, she did not stop trusting God. Anna was from the tribe of Asher, her father was Pheniel, and she is described as a prophetess in verse 36. It's interesting to see that all of the writings of the prophets came to an end with the book of Malachi, some 400 years before Anna appeared on the scene. So we assume that it was the Holy Spirit and through the scriptures that Anna and Simeon were enabled to gain insight and to know that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was close at hand. She had dedicated almost all of her entire life night and day, it says, to prayer and to fasting. It would seem from this short passage of scripture that there was a small band of really dedicated true believers who were spiritually alive, men and women whose hearts burned within them with the expectation of the coming of the Lord. Little noticed by religious leaders of the day, Anna and Simeon were not involved in the secular and religious upheavals of the day. They were the Lord's true disciples in a corrupt period of church history. Their ministry was to wait upon God in secret by fasting and praying, pleading with God to bring an end to this dreadful age and to usher in the needy, to this needy world, one who would be the light and the glory. God draws the curtain back, as it were, and he reveals these wonderful people to us. These facts could so easily have been overlooked, but by God's Spirit, he reveals even more wonderful truths that should encourage us this evening. He goes on to show us their tremendous reward and the marvelous way that their prayers were heard and actually answered. And so this gives us tremendous courage and anticipation, doesn't it? Never have two saints received their heart's desire more than these two saints did. Led by divine guidance, both Simeon and Anna came to the temple at that very hour, and when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus in to present him to the Lord. In Luke verse 22, it says, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. At that very moment, moved by the Spirit, we find that Simeon went into the temple courts when they brought the child Jesus, so to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, you have promised, you now can now dismiss your servant in peace, for now my eyes have seen your salvation. And then Anna, in verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And so according to their faith, both Simeon and Anna were richly rewarded. They had prayed, and now they were able to see with their very own eyes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 32, the one they knew who would be the light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of the people of Israel. The long night of the Old Testament was now over, and the gospel would now go out to all the nations of the world. Through this child, all the nations would be blessed, which, as we heard this morning, was promised to Abraham right back in the beginning, there in Genesis. No wonder Simeon took this baby in his arms, and he blessed God for giving him such an incredible honor and such a wonderful privilege and blessing him in such amazing way, to see and to be able to hold the Lord of glory who had come down from heaven to be in this world, to live amongst us. Can you imagine for a moment holding in your arms this one, as Isaiah 52 verse 15 puts it, his blood will sprinkle many nations and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they are going to be able to understand. So Simeon was now prepared to leave the stage of life. His work had now been completed, it was over, and he blesses God and he praises him. Having announced to Mary that the sword of grief would one day pierce her heart. Surely that was a reference to the fact that in the future, she was going to see and witness her son die on a cross. He summarizes Christ's ministry on earth as the one who would turn the multitude's lives upside down. And Simeon leaves this earthly scene. Anna, too, goes back to this band of praying warriors and announces the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah and the end of an age. These people who had wrestled with God are certainly an inspiration to us as the people of God who live in difficult times, giving us an absolute wonderful, sure hope of the promises of God, that one day you and I, we will see the Lord Jesus face to face. We can learn from them that we too may have some, can have the same faith that they had and the same prayerfulness, and that we may be persistent and never give up. Like Elijah, who had prayed for rain on one occasion when his servant had seen a cloud that was no larger than a man's fist, he knew that his prayers had been answered. Like Anna and Simeon, we need to pray in these days with strong crying and tears, as the Bible would put it, with an energy of our souls for God to revive us again, to give us a new vision of the glory of God, and for the time when Jesus Christ is going to come again. Simeon and Anna prayed for the Son of God to come, and they prayed for his incarnation, for God to come in human flesh. And we should be praying like that. We should be praying for souls to be saved. We should be praying for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back again. In Isaiah 50, verse 19, it says, "From the west men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along." And so the first time when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, as we saw this morning, he came as a baby, he came in weakness. Someone that we would consider to be insignificant. But he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this Jesus is coming again in power and in great glory, says the scriptures. Our situation and their situation are not all that different. They lived in an age when there was little evidence of God's power seen all around them. We too live in a day and age when we don't see too much of God's power in the world today. We see little of men broken before God, weeping for their sins. And so our world is in need of spiritual revival. Just about every means has been tried in an effort to try and inject some more life into certain churches in our world today. But as we look around, we see little that has taken place where we could actually say that is the hand of God working. Yes, indeed, we see some blessings today. Every soul that comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle of God, for which we give grateful thanks. As one writer put it this way, he said, "Society sleeps on in its deep sleep. But like Anna and Simeon, one thing we do have as true believers is the hope of great things from God. We know that God is in control of all things and that he's working out his plan and his purpose for our lives and for this world. We have more messages today printed for us to read, more sound biblical-based teaching available than probably has been at any other time in history. But it is also true that there is much counterfeit teaching in our world today. But the point is this, that if we hunger and thirst after true righteousness, it's available to us. This should spur us on to look to God for a fresh shower of blessing on his church and on his people. A recovery of sound doctrine is vital to be able to shake our world out of its lethargy, and to once again see the fire of truth burning in men's souls and in their hearts. As long as the churches try to use man-made methods to do God's work, the world will look on and ask, what is the difference between the church and the world? If we do the things that the world does, if we go to the places that the world goes to, then we shouldn't be surprised if the church has lost its power. So the call goes out to us that all of us who have a zeal for God, who really love him with all of our hearts, who have a vision for the lost and the perishing that are around us. And so we need to remind ourselves that everyone who has strength to set aside time to spend with God in secret, like Anna and Simeon did. Anna and Simeon cried out to God, "Oh Lord, won't you just save your people and remember your promises?" What Anna and Simeon did was not recorded by historians, but it was recorded in God's book. And when all of men's books will perish in the fire one day, Anna and Simeon will be rewarded by God in all of eternity. They were steadfast in their devotion to God until their heart's desire was given to them. These two people were godly people. I read once of unsanctified learning, how it has done so much harm to the church. Giftedness and eloquence is not the marrow of Christianity, as this writer said, but it's godliness. Godliness is not an easy thing to define in a few words. But I think if you want to boil it down, it is a hunger in the heart for true righteousness. It's a consuming passion in our souls, in the soul of a believer, for the nearness of God. This is in the this is the true essence of holiness. One writer said this. He said, "To measure your love for God, measure your yearning of your heart for God. A large appetite for God present in your life proves God's grace is in your life. No appetite for God shows no grace from God in your soul." The scripture says, "Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled." What God was doing through this little baby Simeon held in his arms when he said, "I have seen your salvation. Let your servant depart in peace." It was this baby, the Son of God, who would one day offer his life and die on a cross to pay for your sins and for mine, to be our substitute. In verse 30, Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people." Luke tells us in verse 33, "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul.'" It's the word of God, and it's the gospel message that reveals what is in our hearts and shows us where we stand with God. What an amazing event. What an amazing prophecy that Simeon and Anna, who prayed and waited patiently to actually witness and to actually experience this, being able to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to actually hold this baby in their arms, the coming of the Savior of the world. And they saw it with their own eyes. And then they prophesied what would take place in the future. Jesus indeed would reveal what was in the hearts of people. Some believed in him and others did not. Jesus would save his people, and in doing so, his mother's heart would be pierced with sorrow as she watched him die on that cross. But the good news is that we have, and what we share, is that he never stayed dead. He rose again victorious and is now seated at the right hand of God, in all power and all authority have been given to him, and he's made his enemies his footstool. The same Jesus who grew up to be a man, he himself foretold his own death and his own resurrection when he promised that when he went back to his heavenly Father, that one day he would be able to come back and return to take us to be with him. In Matthew 1:21, the Christmas story is summed up in these words: Jesus, which means Savior, and Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't it going to be wonderful to be with him one day forever? In Romans chapter 9, we read that Christ is God over all. In Philippians chapter 3, that being in very nature God, he made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant. And in 1 John chapter 5, it reminds us that he is true God. The very essence of God can be found in the Lord Jesus. This is the birth that we celebrate at Christmas: God becoming a man, the creator of the entire universe, being born as a baby to Mary. He took on weakness, weak human nature. He experienced the things that we experience in life. He was tired. He knows what it is to be hungry and to be disappointed and to grieve. He was born into a poor family. It was for our sakes that he became poor, so that we might become rich. He lived like a human and died on a cross. God became a man, and that was the most momentous event in history. And the wonder is this, that this baby, this great person, never sinned. never committed anything that was wrong. The purpose of his coming, as been told to us in Matthew, was to save his people from their sins. Why do we need saving? Because in our natural nature, we don't want God. We were born sinners because we inherited Adam's sin. And so we come from Adam, and so we've inherited Adam's sin. We are born spiritually dead, as the scripture describes us. And this is why we need saving. We were cut off from God at birth. And that is why God sent his son into this world. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because he came into this world to rescue us, to save us from our sins. So Jesus' offer of salvation is offered to each and every one of us today. He says, whoever believes in me will never perish, but have everlasting life. He also says, anyone who comes to me in repentance and faith and who puts their trust in me, I will never drive them away. And the Bible also tells us that the day of salvation, today is the day of salvation. And this is why the Apostle Paul, he says, we persuade men. We persuade men, we plead with men and women to put their lives in God's hands, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and commit their lives to him. Because maybe tomorrow will be too late. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. And so today we've been reminded again that Christ appeared in a body. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken up to glory. This is the baby that we celebrate at Christmas. I trust that each and every one of us know him as our own personal Savior, and that you walk with him. May we be like Anna and Simeon, people who are sold out for the gospel, dedicated to God, and willing to put our lives on the line for him.